Good afternoon. The hour of 4 p.m. having arrived, I'll call this meeting of the Tax Committee to order for Monday, April 21st. The first item on our agenda is adopting the minutes from April 10th, 2025. Representative Smith, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I would like to move the minutes of the last meeting.
Excellent. Representative Smith has moved the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the minutes from April 10th are adopted. Welcome back, everyone. We have one item on our agenda today, and that is to discuss the tax provisions of House File 2438, which is the Transportation Finance and Policy Bill. Chair Davids, would you like to move House File 2438, the first engrossment, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee? Excellent. Chair Davids has moved the bill in front of us. Chair Kosnick is here. Chair Kosnick, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. This is the omnibus transportation bill. A couple of provisions dealing with taxes or surcharge. With Chair Cagle, there was two years ago the implementation of the retail delivery fee. Two provisions in here clarify the author's original intent to not include construction materials and heating oil, propane. And then the other one was an adjustment to the electric vehicle surcharge in lieu of a regular registration tax, or in addition to that. So those are the main provisions that I believe are in your interest today.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. So we're going to take some testimony on the bill, and then there's an amendment that we'll discuss afterwards, and then we'll move to member discussion and hopefully moving the bill out to Ways and Means. So with that, we're going to turn to community testimony. First up, Anjali Baines, and on deck is Sarah Wolf. Welcome to the committee. Please just introduce yourself as you get started with your testimony.
Yes, hi, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, chairs and committee members. My name is Anjali Baines, and I lead the transportation team at Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with over 30 years of experience developing practical yet bold clean energy policies that benefit all Minnesotans while helping the state meet our climate goals. Our work cuts across many jurisdictions, including taxes, which play an especially crucial role in shaping how our transportation system will or won't meet our climate goals. An example of this is the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. Currently, there are three major sources of revenue into this fund: the gas tax, the motor vehicle sales tax, and tab fees. Taken together, all three currently are insufficient to meet not only our roadway construction and repair needs, but also the need to adapt our transportation infrastructure to better respond to climate change and mitigate climate emissions. The gas tax in particular needs to be reexamined, as the main source of its declining revenues has not been due to electric vehicles, which make up less than 1% of our passenger vehicles, but rather increasing gasoline vehicle fuel efficiency. The proposed increase to the annual EV registration fee in this bill, which would more than double the current fee from $75 to $200, does not fix the gas tax problem or the bigger issue of funding our transportation system. What we need instead is a comprehensive, multifaceted solution that evolves our current transportation funding sources without singling out a specific technology type. For those reasons, Fresh Energy opposes the increase in the EV fees proposed here. We also oppose a three-year delay to transportation greenhouse gas impact assessment and the transit funding cuts. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Up next, Sarah Wolf. On deck, Jukka Kukkonen. Apologies if I said your name wrong. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and get started with your testimony.
Thank you so much. My name is Sarah Wolf, and I'm the Strategic Policy Director with Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. Chair, Co-Chair Gomez and Co-Chair Davids and members of the committee, we appreciate the opportunity to speak. to you today on this transportation omnibus bill. Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light is an organization that stretches across the state. We work with faith communities to promote climate solutions that are equitable and effective. And MNIPL is one of 13 organizations who signed a letter that I believe is in your packet describing our grave concerns with House File 2438. 2 years ago, the legislature passed long overdue and urgently needed funding to improve transit service across the state. Because building more robust and convenient public transit makes those options more viable for more people, and thus improves the daily lives of everyone in our community, from those who either can't or choose not to drive because it may save money or time or stress, to those who wish to drive but experience less congestion because other options serve the varied needs of our neighbors. But House File 2438 undercuts our state's progress with the following budget recommendations. Cuts to Metro Transit of $40 million in FY26-27 and then $64 million in FY28-29, which is an elimination of general fund funding for Metro Transit. And there is a tax equity issue here that I believe another testifier will speak to, which we also support. Also, it includes cuts to Greater Minnesota Transit of $12 million in fiscal year 26-27 and $12 million in fiscal year 28-29. There are cuts to special transportation services such as Metro Mobility and Metro Move. There's cuts to active transportation and also passenger rail-based funding. These cuts to transit funding would be coming at a time when the gap between super billionaires and the rest of us is growing ever wider. At the same time this committee is considering how to raise revenue, Minnesota continues to give tax breaks to the largest companies in the world, like data centers, who even this session have asked to extend exemptions they get from paying sales tax on the hardware, software, and electricity they use. These corporate giveaways are now in the hundreds of millions of dollars with no end in sight. We ask this committee to please say no to these funding cuts in this bill, to these cuts to services that serve people. And we ask you to say no to delaying already implemented and critical climate policy, climate policy rollback in this bill. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony. Jukka Kokkonen up next, and Daniel Wydell is on the, on deck. I'm like, what is the sports metaphor I use? My apologies. We usually have tax committee at 10:15, so I may be like a little less fresh than normal. Please go ahead with your testimony. Introduce yourself as you get started.
All right. Co-chairs, committee members, my name is Jukka Kukkonen, and I live in St. Paul. I have driven EVs since 2012. I don't think that it's fair for us to increase the existing $75 annual EV tax to $200. Analysis by Great Plains Institute and the Minnesota Department of Transportation have both clearly shown that Minnesota EV drivers already contribute more to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund than drivers of equivalent gas cars. First, the increase would not grow the Highway Trust Fund in any meaningful way, and secondly, this is not a fair way to do this because it hits the hardest those with lower incomes and those that drive less and therefore have lowest impact on roads. Earlier this year, I sold our old 2013 Nissan Leaf to a lower-income family that has five kids. They bought it for $4,000 because used EV is the most reliable and affordable way for them, method of transportation for them. This EV tax would increase, would have a big impact on the budget of that family, especially since this doesn't take into account how much or little they drive. Good news is that there is an easy and fair way to do this. We can index the current $75 annual EV tax to gas tax. And if we want to increase the funding for roads, we can increase both of them the same percentage. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Daniel Wydell, and then Philip Adam is up next.
Hello.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. Hope you can hear me. I'm not as elegant as the people before me, but I've just got a few things that I wrote down just as laws are considered.
If you could just introduce yourself for the record as you get started, please.
That would be good. My name is Dan Wydell. I live up in Deerwood, Minnesota, which is by the Brainerd Lakes area. We've got the new trails for a lot of the mountain biking up there, so I'm in that area. So, and EVs are kind of a new technology. You don't see that many of them out there. And the things I'm just going to talk about just kind of affect the perception of EVs. So does the initial and acute benefit of an increase in any taxes and fees on EVs truly increase prolonged revenue? If these laws and fees further promote reasons to not buy an EV down the road, we need to be more forward-thinking before establishing a precedent so that it does not cause irreparable and irreversible harm to an entire industry still finding its own feet. Are the laws and fees that the state creates and implements mostly free from personal bias? Just because something is proposed in another state and it does show to be bad for EV adoption in that state, we shouldn't look at that and just copy and paste it into our own laws. Some things that kind of are discussed is just like the weight of EVs. So I just kind of mentioned in my notes here that EVs are not heavier than other popular personal vehicles like large trucks, SUVs, on that. They're not that much heavier, but when you compare these fees that are being applied to EVs, they seem more closely related to the charges being applied to 18-wheelers than personal automobiles. So that is all I've got to contribute, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Philip Adam and then William Watkins on deck.
Welcome Madam to Chair, the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I am Philip Adam, a resident of Plymouth, Minnesota for 40 years. My wife and I have driven electric vehicles for 12 years and 225,000 miles. My message is simple. This proposed $200 registration tax for electric vehicles is fundamentally regressive. As legislators, you can direct policy favorable to EVs that significantly lower gas prices. Lower gas prices. By diversifying our energy transportation energy sources, Minnesota citizens will receive the added benefit of mitigating risk from the market volatility of Wall Street and from the geopolitical consequences of crude oil. I want to point out three events from the last 6 years. At the beginning of COVID, demand dropped by 30%. Now, I should point out that the state of Minnesota burns about 3.1 billion gallons of gasoline a year. Annualized, the retail, at COVID, the retail price dropped by 75 cents per gallon. Annualized, this is $2.3 billion savings to Minnesota gas car owner citizens. We can ask if 20 to 30% of transportation vehicles were electric, how would that affect demand for gasoline and thus its retail price? The correlation is clear. It is gas car owners who would benefit significantly from the rapid adoption of electric vehicles. Then event number two, in September of 2021, gas prices were $1.50 above the pandemic prices and still climbing, this being an annualized cost of $4.5 billion per year to Minnesota citizens. At that time, the CEO of Chevron, Mike Wirth, said, we could afford to invest more, but the equity market is not sending a signal that says they think we ought to be doing that. That's an explicit declaration that petroleum refiners respond to shareholder value, not the profits burden that citizens must endure. And I should point out there's only 123 refineries in the entire United States. That's quite an economic choke point. All it takes is a few of them to go offline, and we're in trouble. Then event number three, just a few months after Mike Wirth of Chevron said that, Ukraine was invaded by Russia, and our gas prices skyrocketed another $1.50, costing us an additional $4.5 billion. So reject this tax, encourage diversification of transportation energy systems, streams, and thoughtfully develop a better revenue stream to fund our costs. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. William Watkins. And then Peter Wagenius is on deck.
Hi, my name is William Watkins from Eagan, Minnesota. I just wanted to give a bit more of a kind of a personal perspective on how the increase to the EV tax may affect individual owners. So my wife and I have both owned EVs for the last 7 years. We don't drive a tremendous amount. I drive around 7,000 miles a year. She drives around 8,500 miles a year. So, you know, projecting the fee increase for from 75 to 200 for the next 7 years, which is how long we've owned EV so far, would actually cost our family an additional $1,861 over that period of time. I believe another issue that hasn't been discussed up to this point, at least not that I've heard, is EV owners who fuel with electricity already are paying state sales tax on the electricity they're using to fuel their vehicle. I've got in my chart here, over the last 7 years, for my vehicle, I've paid $167 of Minnesota state sales tax for that electricity, and my wife $218.21. So we're already paying essentially, I think, what would turn into about 13 cents per gallon of sales tax for the equivalent amount of electricity for the EV. That's all I had to say. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Peter Wagenius, and then Kathleen Schuler is up next. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Peter Wagenius from Sierra Club. This bill is unfair to the metro area. First, tax equity. Since this bill would cut and then eliminate general fund support for Metro Transit, Metro taxpayers are increasingly being told we need to pay for our own transit. By contrast, Greater Minnesota Transit gets the strong majority of its funding from the state's general fund. This was already an issue in 2023 when we approved the metro area sales tax, but an elimination of state general fund support was not part of the deal. Second, governance of revenue. The huge tax policy decision should have been paired with a conversation about governance. While Greater Minnesota Transit Systems get the majority of their revenue from the general fund, they nonetheless have local control over how those dollars are spent. And for metro taxpayers, it is the opposite. Governance of tax revenue from metro taxpayers is bizarre, not just by national standards, but also bizarre by comparison here in Minnesota. A few minutes ago, I emailed you all a summary of who is responsible for investing revenue for transit in Duluth, Rochester, St. Cloud, Winona, Mankato, and Moorhead. In all those regions, decision makers are accountable only to local voters, as it should be, but that doesn't apply in the metro area. If I were to say that we metro voters should have an equal say over how Rochester, Duluth, or any other region manages their transit dollars, those regions would understandably object. For that matter, if there was a bill that gave me or Hennepin County voters an equal say over management of county road dollars in Todd, Nicollet, Sibley, or St. Louis counties, if I said that, you would say, that's none of your business, Minneapolis man. We control our decisions over our dollars, even if those dollars originate from the state. So it's not just that this bill rolls back needed climate action, including the greenhouse gas VMT targets. This bill reneges on the 2023 law in multiple ways and makes inequities in authority over transit revenue much worse. And how much did we talk about this topic in the Transportation Committee? Not at all. This bill is not ready for prime time. We would have been much better off with a lights-on bill which just kept MnDOT and Met Council running. Please vote no.
Thank you for your testimony. Kathleen Schuler. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Gomez, Chair Davids, and committee members. I'm Kathleen Schuler. I'm State Policy Director with Health Professionals for Healthy Climate. We oppose provisions in House File 2438 that would delay action needed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector. I realize this is a tax committee, but reducing greenhouse gases by investing dollars in climate action has return on investment for human health and our economy. Delaying climate action increases exposure to air pollution, resulting in more premature deaths and increased incidence of respiratory and cardiovascular diseases. Air pollution from fossil fuel combustion is responsible for 350,000 premature deaths in the U.S. each year. Reducing transportation emissions will provide an important public health benefit for environmental justice communities that experience disproportionately high levels of traffic air pollution due to historical siting of highways in BIPOC and low-income communities. Climate mitigation actions could save, in the United States, $5.8 trillion in economic losses and save 6.5 million lives. For this reason, we oppose a delay in implementing reductions in greenhouse gases and VMT called for in the climate impact on highways law. Investment in active transit is also critical in reducing greenhouse gases. That's why we oppose the proposed cuts in active transit, including safe routes to school. More walkable and bikeable communities is a cost-effective way to reduce greenhouse gases and improve health. A Midwest study found that a savings of $8 billion through switching from individual car travel to active transit. We also oppose the increase in electric vehicle surcharge from $75 to $200. This higher fee places an additional cost burden on lower to middle income EV purchasers at a time when we need even stronger incentives to encourage vehicle electrification. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. That reaches the end of the list that I had. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify on House File 2438? All right, not seeing any. Representative Freiberg, there's an A20 amendment. Did you want to move your amendment?
Sure, I will move the A20 amendment.
Excellent. Do you want to just describe it for members?
Sure, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing the bill forward, Chair Kosnick. Hopefully this will be considered friendly. The amendment retains the bridge funding that's in the bill, but changes the funding source to the Met Council's Active Transportation Fund. That fund is dedicated to bicycle and pedestrian projects in the region, and there is ample resources available in the fund. The Washington Avenue Bridge is the most used bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the entire state, and it's a regional asset that serves the state of Minnesota. Of course, the University of the bridge connects the University of Minnesota campuses, which is a statewide entity. So it's appropriate for this project to be paid out of a regional fund rather than having the cost borne exclusively by Hennepin County taxpayers. And moreover, the bill, you know, I don't think I've ever seen this done before, but the bill as written would send locally raised sales tax revenue that Hennepin County uses to build transit to the U of M for the project. And, you know, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would be unprecedented for the state to reach into locally raised taxes to fund a project of regional or statewide significance. The legislature generally doesn't force other local governments seeking state help for a project to fund it themselves. So I hope members will support this common sense amendment, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Representative Freiberg. Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Freiberg, it's one of the smaller, but apparently more smaller topic in the transportation bill, but apparently people want to speak about it a lot, so it's gotten a little bit more attention. We, in the taxes committee for sure, but in the legislature, we used the but-for test, and there was a lot of discussion in the transportation committee. We had a bill heard, and the language that's in the bill concerning the Washington Avenue Bridge owned by Hennepin County passed by a vote of 15-0. And so just on that standpoint, I will ask members to not support your amendment today. But for Hennepin County not taking action to reduce suicides on this bridge, this is why it's before us, because there is no statute that prohibits Hennepin County from fixing the guardrails and putting a suicide deterrent fence on this. This has been not a recent issue, but it's been an ongoing issue for a number of years with this bridge. And unfortunately, the students in that area, college students, I have a freshman daughter myself. I think you're preparing your daughters to go to, I think, St. Thomas. But we know that it's a very stressful time for students. There's a lot of pressure put on them, and unfortunately, suicide idolization occurs, and the University of Minnesota and Hennepin County have recognized this longstanding issue, and because of but for Hennepin County's actions, it is now in front of the legislature because constituents are demanding some kind of action. It is not unprecedented, members. It is not unprecedented for the legislature to intervene when there is inaction at a local unit of government. It has happened before. It will happen again, as I'm told. So what the language that's in the bill, as I said, is supported 15-0 by the Transportation Committee, who's had a considerable amount of testimony on this. The Senate has testimony on this, and I would prefer to continue the discussion in conference committee. Chair Gomez and I spoke about this amendment briefly. I think there's a couple better options than what's proposed here in the A20 amendment, Representative Freiberg, and unfortunately with the Easter holiday break that we just took, the legislative break, we didn't have an opportunity to discuss this before now. And I hope that, I would hope that Hennepin County just ponies up and does what they know to be right. And there is, they have an account currently in the current bill of $240 million sitting in that account currently through their transportation sales tax. There is discussion of whether it's $15 million needed to put up the suicide prevention fence, or new estimates are a little bit less, like $9 million. And so, to be honest, members, I think it's shameful that Hennepin County is running around lobbying and members to get out of paying for it. To be quite frank, we had this discussion in transportation much more in depth than I thought was necessary. I would rather that this issue be taken care of by Hennepin County and the University of Minnesota. I applaud the University of Minnesota for putting up a solution. And in that last year's time frame, there have been about 5 or 6, I'm told, suicides that have been prevented just by the chain link fence. That's a temporary measure, but it's an effective measure. And so I'm not sure how much longer Hennepin County wants to try to go with the bonding bill and roll the dice with people's lives.
With Chair Kosnick,
yes.
Could we...
I can shorten it up.
Could you shorten it up? And could you, you know, I know that the Hennepin County is not a member of the legislature, so I'm not going to admonish you not to impugn their motives. But I think it's really, we're talking about a critical piece of infrastructure here that will help protect people's lives. And I just really want us to discuss it in a way that is respectful and that kind of aligns with the issue at hand. And so I would ask you, please, in my committee, to not characterize the county and their elected officials' action in the derisive way that you've done so far. So, Chair Kosnick, please continue.
Fair enough, Madam Chair. We did, like I said, have this discussion in Transportation Committee. Hennepin County has the resources to pay for this. The University of Minnesota has been in negotiations with them. And I will hold with the committee's point of 15-0 and the language that's in the bill as it stands. There is plenty of money for Hennepin County in the way the bill is written. There was a previous amendment that was at markup that it probably is a better way to do it, and so I would encourage members to not support the amendment today. I appreciate the discussion, but I hope that in conference committee we will iron this out.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your remarks there. I was frankly offended by some of Chair Kosnick's remarks. There is a huge issue with this bridge, and it's unreasonable and offensive to suggest that the county hasn't taken this seriously. They've been trying to get funding for this for years. Last year it was a bonding request, and I just think it's improper to suggest people don't think this is a serious issue. And you mentioned the Senate, you know, has language to address that. Funny thing is, the Senate is the language in the amendment here. I think we should be able to have a reasonable discussion about a funding source without impugning the motives of either anybody here or anybody not here who's not able to defend themselves. This amendment would fund this project because we recognize it as a serious issue. We can have a discussion about the source of the funding without questioning people's motives. So the Senate prefers the language in the amendment, and it's on a bipartisan basis, I should add, as well. So with that, I'd like to request a roll call, Madam Chair.
Roll call having been requested on the A20, there will be a roll call. Representative, is there further discussion before we go to Representative Kosnick for additional comments? Not seeing any. Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and respectfully, Representative Freiberg, I still curious why this is has certain members of.
Are you suggesting something?
No, I'm
just if we could please go through the chair.
No.
Chair Kosnick, if you have any further comments to add on this, please do so at this time.
Well, I would remind members that the way the bill is written, the bridge fixes are paid for. There is a pool of money of currently $240 million, and the way the bill is written, it requests up to $15 million to fix the bridge. It is paid for in the current manner that the bill is written. There is no need for a fix or a change. So I request a no vote.
Ms. Abraha will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Chair Gomez, aye. Chair Davids?
No.
Chair Davids, no. Vice Chair Norris?
Oh, Norris is excused. Sorry.
Norris is excused. Vice Chair Joy?
No.
Vice Chair Joy, no. Representative Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Elkins, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hansen, aye. Representative Harder?
No.
Representative Harder, no. Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Herr, aye. Representative Hewitt?
Aye.
Representative Hewitt, aye. Representative Johnson?
Sorry. No.
Representative Johnson, no. Representative Kozlowski?
Aye.
Representative Kozlowski, aye. Representative Lee?
Aye.
Representative Lee, aye. Representative Roach?
No.
Representative Note, nay. Representative Robbins?
No.
Representative Robbins, no. Representative Schwartz?
No.
Representative Schwartz, no. Representative Smith?
Yes.
Representative Smith, aye. Representative Stevenson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson, aye. Representative Swazinski?
No.
Representative Swazinski, no. Representative Warwas?
No.
Representative Warwas, no. Representative Wiener?
No.
Representative Wiener, no. Representative Woody?
No.
Representative Woody, no. Representative Joachim?
Yes.
Representative Joachim, yes. Madam Chair, there are 11 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 11 ayes, 12 nays, one excused, the motion does not prevail, and the A20 amendment is not adopted. Moving on now to discussion on House File 2438, the first engrossment. Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the Tax Committee, so I won't talk extensively on the provisions unrelated to tax. But I will say that in addition to the funding source issue I mentioned earlier, the bill includes a three-year delay in the requirement that the Department of Transportation adhere to both greenhouse gas emissions and vehicle miles traveled reduction targets. We heard a bit of testimony about that. There's cuts to transit in this that I can't support. So just to state it briefly, I just can't support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Representative Kosnick, did you have something you were trying to say?
Respectfully, Madam Chair and Representative Freiberg, the change in the implementation date on the greenhouse gas mitigation is not 3 years. It is, I believe, 12 months.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A typical, gasoline-powered car getting 25 miles per gallon, driven 11,500 miles and paying a gas tax of 31.8 cents a gallon would pay about $144 a year in gas taxes. A typical EV, which is only driven about 9,000 miles a year, would only pay $113 in gas tax. And a typical Nissan Leaf, which is only driven about 6,500 miles a year, would only pay about $81 in annual gas taxes. So at $200, we would have the third highest EV surcharge in the entire country. I have no idea where, other than the fact that there, it is the third highest, would be the third highest in the number, that $200 number came from. Maybe you can explain where the $200 figure came from, but it is totally unfair. And, you know, if everybody should pay $200 a year, you know, why don't we just charge everybody $200 a year, including people who are driving gasoline-powered cars?
Chair Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Elkins. This was a combination of a couple bills that were introduced in the Transportation Committee, one by Representative Kraft, one by Representative Zalesnikar, and in addition to just the current gas prices, gasoline combustion engine drivers are also subject to an inflation index, and so I think that was a factor in this. The actual miles driven by a driver is very variable, but I understand your point, and we look at the averages, but in addition to the weight of the vehicles, so 200 was what was agreed upon through the Transportation Committee and negotiations, and it has been a long-discussed fee from when it was first implemented in 2017, that it should have been closer probably to the numbers that you might have suggested earlier, but now a number of years later, that is the number that is in the bill.
Is there any further discussion to the bill? Chair Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll renew my motion that House File 2430 be passed to the Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Davids renews his motion that House File 2438, the first engrossment, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, Chair Kosnick.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I do appreciate the time in committee today. I didn't mean to offend anyone, but I know that there's strong emotions around this. But I do want to just, if I could, in closing, you know, the more broadly to the general transportation bill, and as we heard in Ways and Means, hearing the first omnibus bills coming through and will be on the House floor, is that we are in a unique time of the legislature where we have a divided, equally divided House. And so the bills will have things that members like and things that members don't like, but this is a negotiated bill that has a lot of provisions from both House members of both bodies, Democrats and Republicans, and we'll talk more on the House floor, but I would like to just say that it does make our roads safer. We have provisions in here that make it smarter on how we maintain our roads, and also some of the new surcharges go to a greenhouse gas mitigation account and other provisions in the bill that make our transportation system more sustainable. And so we, Chair Cagle and I, negotiated this bill with a few other members, and it has passed the Transportation Committee. This is a balanced transportation bill, but I do recognize there's certain provisions in there that cause members heartburn, but that's how the new reality is of this year's legislation. And with that in mind, I appreciate member support and stand for any questions today or after. Thank you, Madam Chair.
With that, Chair Davids renews his motion that House File 2438, the first engrossment, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The motion carries. House File 2438, the first engrossment, is re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Members, that concludes our business for the day. Our next hearing of taxes is scheduled for Wednesday, April 23rd, I believe at 8:15. Chair Davids? Chair Davids, why would you possibly want to see us at 8:15 on Wednesday? I better be good.
I think that Wednesday meeting depends on what happens to the education bill. If we get it, if we don't get it, then we have no other bills before it, right?
Chair Joachim is shaking her head, but we believe in you, so we'll see. Call of the chair, let's say, for
I think
Wednesday.
She can do it.
All right. Excellent. So thank you, Mr. Chair. And so watch your emails. We'll be in touch with that. We are adjourned.